This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Now, you may have heard in the last few years that honeybees were under threat after an increase a few years back in a problem known as colony collapse disorder. Those honeybees are a non-native species in North America. They play a huge role in agriculture, both in honey production and for pollinating a wide variety of crops. But the concerns about honeybees and their importance in agriculture may have overshadowed a big ecological problem. Many of the nearly 4,000 bee species that are native to North America are under different forms of threats because of habitat loss, pesticides, and other reasons. Rich Hatfield is a senior endangered species conservation biologist and bumblebee conservation lead at the Xerces Society for Invertebrate Conservation. Rich, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
I want to spend a little bit of, or most of our time on the native bees. I want to touch on honeybees for a moment. We might look at bees and think bees are bees. Honeybees have a very different background and story in North America. Can you tell us a bit about that history?
Yeah. So as you mentioned, they're not native. They were, so they weren't naturally here, but back in the early 1600s, as Europeans were moving to North America, because honeybees provided a source of sugar and also a source of wax, they decided to bring them over. And the earliest records were in the early 1600s, I think 1620s. I think their first arrival was in Jamestown, Virginia. And records indicate that by sort of the mid-1800s that honeybees had reached to the West Coast and been spread by people all the way out there. But all of the history of the European honeybee or the Western honeybee coming to North America involves humans bringing them here. They weren't here on their own. Although it is worth noting that there is a early fossil of a related species, a related honeybee in the genus Apis, that was found in Nevada a few years ago. So there may have been a native honeybee at one time, but that was millions of years ago and went extinct before people were ever in the picture.
And then let's turn to native bees. Thousands of different species native to the continent. I understand we've been talking about honeybees. The native bees in North America, none of them produce honey. Do I have that right?
None of them produce any measurable amount of honey. We have around 50 species of bumblebees, and they may produce sort of small pockets of honey that they feed their larvae when they're developing. But almost all of our native bees spend their winter hibernating. So they sleep through the winter. So they have a different strategy for surviving, whereas honeybees spend all summer making that honey. So they have something to eat in the wintertime, and they overwinter sort of alive, which is different than our native bees.
What are some of the main strategies of overwintering, a big issue for a native bee here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, most of them are overwintering in a small hole in the ground, probably, you know, in your garden or in a yard somewhere. Some of them also overwinter in like pithy stems or twigs of trees or shrubs or even perennial plants. And so actually leaving some of that material in your yard is really important. Leaving some of those dead stems up and actually leaving some of the leaves on the ground provides really important insulation that protects those animals through the winter.
A lot of your work, of course, has to do with endangered and threatened bee species in North America. How endangered are some of these bee species?
The short answer to the question is we don't really know. There are, I think you mentioned, there are thousands of species of native bees to North America. And so in the United States and Canada, we have somewhere around 3,600 species. And for most of those species, we have very little understanding of their conservation status. But we do have a pretty good understanding of the conservation status of bumblebees, which are fairly well studied. Most people are probably familiar with them. They're large, robust, black and yellow for the most part, and they're fairly well studied. And we have some indication that around, or not some indication, the data indicates that around a quarter of them are facing some degree of extinction risk. And several of them are critically endangered. One species, Bombus franklinii, or Franklin's bumblebee, which is native to Northern California and Southern Oregon, actually hasn't been detected since 2006, and some folks actually think it may already be extinct. And then there in Wisconsin, you know, you have the rusty patch bumblebee, which is a federally listed endangered species. And so the two species I just mentioned, the rusty patch bumblebee and Franklin's bumblebee, are two bumblebees that are federally listed as endangered. And then there are actually seven yellow-faced or hyalaeus bees that are endemic to Hawaii that are also on the endangered species list. So I know that's kind of a long answer to your question, but in short, it sounds like really when we start looking at the data that around a quarter of the species are probably facing some degree of extinction risk.
What are a couple of the biggest reasons that these bees are endangered?
Well, you mentioned them in sort of your introduction of the segment. You know, habitat loss is a major one. The use of insecticides is also incredibly important, especially over the last, you know, 20 to 25 years or so has been an increasing use of systemic insecticides, which are water soluble and get into plants and are expressed in the pollen and nectar, which are the only food for bees. So that's a really important source of a threat for them. And climate change is also a major factor as well. It's changing the time at which our plants bloom, and it's causing sort of crazy springtime, winter storms and other things that are just impacting their life cycle. And so all of these factors sort of keep piling on top of each other, and you get a scenario that is commonly referred to sort of as a death by a thousand cuts. And another factor that's really happening, especially to some of our bumblebees, is disease is a major factor. So, you know, you mentioned honeybees at the beginning. There's some pretty good evidence that shows that when we move honeybees around, we're actually moving diseases around with them as well, and they can pass those diseases to our native bees as they visit flowers with each other. And there's also a commercial bumblebee industry that is believed to be amplifying and spreading diseases throughout the country. So a lot of threats out there. But the good news is a lot of those things are things we can do something about. We just need to band together and work to mediate to get rid of those threats.
And very briefly, just in our last half minute, you mentioned we can leave our yards untidy in the winter to help. Can we make a difference literally by planting native flowers for the rest of the season?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's one of the great things about pollinator conservation is it's a build it and they will come scenario. If you start putting habitat in the ground, and the Xerces Society has a ton of resources on our website to help you do that, you will bring bees there. And that's what we're really encouraging folks to do, is to focus on building habitat rather than, say, getting a honeybee hive, because you may be bringing them into the system that doesn't have enough food to feed them already. So we want to focus on building habitat, and that will support our native bees and the honeybees that are already on the landscape.
Rich, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
That's Rich Hatfield with the Xerces Society for Invertebrate Conservation. He talked to us today about native bees, many of which are endangered or threatened, and how to help them out around North America.